Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. This month, we're going to listen to both new and old. We'll start off with an ART recorded show and finish with a music show from the days of old-time radio. American Radio Theater recorded a new version of Stars Over Hollywood. The title is The Butler Has a Sideline.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation of a lost radio show. In just a moment, we switch controls to Hollywood to The Dairy Rich Show, Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Dairy Rich, the chocolate-flavored drink. There's the signal. We take you now to Hollywood.
No, Hollywood crowd.
Welcome to Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Stars Over Hollywood. Greetings from the movie city of Hollywood, where every week, Bowie's Incorporated, makers of Dairy Rich, presents Stars Over Hollywood, headlining your favorite actors of screen and radio. Every week, new personalities. Every week, the same delicious chocolate-flavored drink, Dairy Rich. In a moment, the curtain will rise on Stars Over Hollywood. But first, here's our star of today's performance, that very helpful individual, Kim Turner. Hello, Kim.
Cheerio, Marvin, old sock.
Kim, how does it feel to be known as the world's most famous butler?
Terribly, old man, terribly.
Indeed. I should have thought that such fame would bring no end of satisfaction.
Well, you see, my good fellow, nowadays all the gentlemen are either in the service or in war plants, and the gentlemen's gentlemen are the gentlemen. But with no gentleman's gentleman to serve them, and with no gentleman to serve, how can one be a gentleman's gentleman?
Oh, would you mind repeating that? I don't think I understood it.
Well, come to think of it, neither did I.
Well, anyway, with the servant problem as it is, you're pretty busy, I presume.
Yes, between my chess games and my radio program with Frank Morgan, I make pictures. Just finished Kitty for Paramount with Paulette Goddard.
I see. Well, Kim, I can't offer you a chess game, but I could try your other occupation.
Quite so, old boy, quite so.
In a moment, Kim Turner will return. There's just one thing that children enjoy at breakfast more than a big hot cup of dairy-rich chocolate-flavored drink, and that's two cups of the same. Yes, Dairy Rich is so delicious that children actually want seconds. And you know what that means at breakfast? No coaxing, no scolding, and relieved to see them start off to school with real nourishment. The kind of nourishment that keeps them alert and active through the whole morning's work. And listen, to make sure you get genuine Dairy Rich, the food drink that nourishes as it refreshes, remember this name, Dairy Rich Chocolate Flavored Drink. It's chocolate flavor supreme. The Dairy Rich Show, Stars Over Hollywood, presents The Butler Has a Sideline, an original radio play. At the elegant home of Wilfred Tucker, president of the Tucker Chemicals Corporation, preparations are in progress towards one of the charming parties for which the Tucker home is famous. But unknown to the many and frequent guests, is the fact that it is the Tuckers' expert butler and their fine cook that are responsible for their master's social success. Wilkins and his wife Susan are all that a butler and a cook can be. As we come into the Tuckers' home, we find Wilkins in the last stages of preparation.
Yes? What is it?
May I come in, dear?
Karen. Yes, come in, come in.
Darling, aren't you ready yet? The guests will arrive soon.
These confounded evening clothes. It's a wonder that any man can ever be ready before midnight with an outfit like this.
Now, Wilfred, for 15 years we've been giving formal parties, and in 15 years you haven't missed complaining about your clothes once. I should think you'd be quite accustomed to them by now.
Well, it's easy for you to talk. All you have to do is put on a simple dress, and there you are. But I...
It isn't quite that simple, darling. Really. Do you like it?
Like it? Oh, the dress. Yes, it's very becoming. You look lovely, my dear.
I'm so glad. I want this party to be especially successful. Your friend Mr. Gaines must leave thoroughly convinced that becoming your partner will be his life's crowning pleasure.
Well, with your parties, dear, I don't see how he could feel otherwise.
Thank you, my sweet. I'm so glad that I've been able to deceive you, too.
Deceive?
Well, without the expert help of Wilkins and Susan, I'd probably be lost.
Karen, I have yet to see you lost about anything. But I suppose it does help to have such a fine couple as Wilkins and Susan.
Especially with the servant problem as it is today. Well, hurry, darling. I'll call Wilkins to help you. Wilkins! Wilkins, will you come here, please?
How in heaven's name does one button this shirt?
Did you call, madam?
Wilkins, there you are. Would you help Mr. Tucker with his dressing? You seem to be the only one who can.
It is nothing, madam. Nothing. I shall be delighted. It only requires a little patience with the foibles of civilization, if I may say so.
You certainly may, Wilkins. Now help me figure out this blasted wardrobe.
Is everything ready for the party, Wilkins?
Everything is in order, madam. The hors d'oeuvres shall be served promptly upon the arrival of the fourth guest. Dinner is at 8 sharp, madam, with squab and baked Alaska, as madam ordered. The red wine shall be served at room temperature, with fish a la Louis, and the white wine shall be served at 40 degrees.
Excellent. I don't know how I could ever get along without you and Susan, Wilkins.
Thank you, madam. We are most gratified. I like you, too.
Well, I'll run down. Don't be long, darling.
Your shirt is ready for the buttoning, sir.
Thank you, Wilkins. Sometimes I wish Karen didn't take her parties so seriously.
Well, sir, if I may be permitted to say, Madam's parties have been more in the nature of investment, a very profitable investment.
Yes, I suppose that's quite true. But must she become so tense about them?
It's the excitement of an artist, sir, the knowledge that one is about to execute another superb performance in one's favorite craft.
You always make things sound so easy, Wilkins. Easy and so satisfying. Here, help me with this tie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I suppose these parties add a great deal to a successful business enterprise. I hope Gaines succumbs to your display, Wilkins.
May I make a suggestion, sir?
By all means, do, Wilkins.
It's a bit awkward, sir, but from my own observations, I should say that Mr. Gaines could bear a bit of watching.
Watching? How do you mean that, Wilkins?
Well, sir, it's very difficult to say, but I feel that Mr. Gaines has some scheme in mind that may be, well, a bit off color, if I may say so.
I've never known you to be wrong, Wilkins. But Gaines? After all, you must remember it is I who want him to come into the corporation. He didn't approach me.
Quite so, sir, quite so. That's why it is so awkward to put one's finger on the gentleman's motive, as it were. Your jacket, sir.
Well, don't worry, Wilkins. All I want is Gaines' money in our corporation. Lots of it.
Yes, sir. Your jacket.
Thank you, Wilkins. Am I all dressed?
If I may say so, sir, you look a splendid figure in your dinner clothes.
Do I? Oh, do I indeed? Well, maybe I do. Yes, I guess I do. I hope the others think so.
Oh, sir, no one could fail to notice.
I must say, Tucker, this is the best dinner I have ever enjoyed. No wonder Karen's parties are the talk of the town.
Thank you, Arthur. I am so glad you liked it.
Coffee is served in the library, madam.
Thank you, Wilkins. Shall we adjourn to the library?
Yes, by all means.
Is everything satisfactory, madam?
Indeed it is, Wilkins. My compliments to Susan.
Yes, that was a fine dinner, Wilkins.
Thank you, sir. Cook will be pleased.
Oh, I say, Tucker, I wonder if I might make a phone call.
Why, of course, Gaines. Wilkins, would you show Mr. Gaines to the upstairs phone?
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
Wilkins?
Sir?
Wilkins, I need a little... Well, there's something I'd like to know. I wonder if you can help me.
The Wilkins, sir, have prided themselves for 5 generations on their services and discretion.
Oh, of course, of course. Discretion, that's the part I like. You see, I'm thinking of putting some money into Mr. Tucker's corporation, and I was just wondering how solvent he might be.
Indeed, sir. I'm most pleased to hear that.
Why is that?
Oh, well, sir, I don't know if I may violate a confidence.
Here. Will this $100 bill help?
Thank you, sir. Indeed it will. You see, sir, Mr. Tucker has been most unwilling to permit outside capital to participate in the Tucker Chemicals Corporation.
You don't say. But why?
The Tucker's Chemicals Corporation is an incredibly wealthy firm, if I may say so. And Mr. Tucker has always been alert to anyone's putting sufficient funds into it to control it. Only the most insignificant investments have been permitted.
Oh, now I see it. That's why the old codger tried to make me believe that he needed money. He figured I'd get suspicious and stay out. You would say then, Wilkins, that if I could slip a substantial amount into Tucker Chemicals, I'd be doing all right.
Without hesitation, sir. Without hesitation.
Thank you, Wilkins. You don't know what a help you've been. Gaines Chemical Corporation sounds fine to me.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Oh, goodness, but I'm tired.
So am I. It was a pretty good party, though.
Did Gaines say anything about the investment?
Only briefly. I certainly hope he comes through. I need that kind of money in the firm right now.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure you'll be all right. After all, with your facilities and know-how, you can't fail.
We might have the stuff it takes, but we need money.
I beg your pardon, madam. May I restore order in the library?
Oh, yes. Of course, Wilkins. That was a lovely party, Wilkins, don't you think so?
Indeed I do, madam.
I hope Gaines thinks enough of it to shell out.
I beg pardon, sir, but if I may be permitted an observation, I think Mr. Gaines will undoubtedly shell out.
Oh, Wilkins, do you really?
That is my humble opinion, madam.
There. You see, darling, even Wilkins thinks so, and he's never wrong.
Well, if Gaines comes through, I'll let Wilkins give the biggest and swankiest party we've ever had.
Well, sir, perhaps I'd better inform you now.
Inform me? Of what?
Of our notice, sir.
Notice? You're not going to quit.
Leave us.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Tucker and madam, but Mrs. Wilkins and I find it necessary to leave starting next Sunday.
You can't. Why, have we made it too hard for you?
We've given a few parties, Wilkins, but even then, you and your wife seem to enjoy preparing them.
I regret the inconvenience, sir. It has nothing whatsoever to do with you or the house. It's a bit of a private matter, sir.
Is cook ill?
Mrs. Wilkins is in excellent health. It is simply that at this time of year, my wife and I are in the habit of attending the openings of the clubs at La Mesa. We remain in the resort until, to put it coarsely, until our luck runs out.
La Mesa? That gambling resort? Are you a professional gambler?
Oh, no, sir. Susan and I refer to it as our avocation.
Your what?
After a period of consecutive employment in the domestic service amounting to nearly a year, we discover we require... Oh, to speak even more coarsely, sir, we discover we require a sort of a spree.
A spree?
Yes, madam. One can obtain the feeling nicely when indulging in roulette or a game of cards sometimes entitled blackjack.
But how expensive! La Mesa caters only to the richest... Pardon me, Wilkins, but how can you afford it? We couldn't.
If Madam recalls, our salary for the past year here amounts to $6,000. That plus a tiny little sum from our previous place comes to...
In other words, I've been financing a gambling expedition.
We justify ourselves, if I may say so, Mr. Tucker, by the excellence of our service. Has Madam any complaint as to the way in which we have served her?
No. You've been perfect up to now.
Thank you. And now, with Madam's permission, I shall retire.
Oh, Wilfred, what am I going to do without Wilkins? Good grief. Why do vacuum cleaners pick everything up? Heavens, there go my cigarettes. For goodness sake, why doesn't someone answer that phone? Oh, I guess there's no one here but me. Hello?
Is this Mrs. Tucker? Mrs. Wilfred Tucker?
Yes?
This is the A1 run employment agency?
Oh, the employment agency. Have you found me a butler?
No, Mrs. Tucker.
Well, why not?
There isn't a butler available for 6 months.
6 months? Good heavens. Where am I going to get a butler?
You might try the Acme Employment Agency.
Where?
Acme Employment Agency.
Yes, I'll call them at once. Thank you.
Good luck.
Acme Employment Agency.
Hello, is this the Acme Employment Agency?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to hire a butler.
Not from this agency, ma'am.
You what? Oh, but I need one right away.
Well, so does everyone else, ma'am.
What?
Don't you know there's a war on?
Of course I know there's a war on. How rude. Oh, what's the use? Oh, good grief, something's burning. Oh, there goes the doorbell. You'll just have to wait.
What's going on here?
Oh, Wilfred, it's you.
Great Scott, Karen. You look as though a cyclone hit you.
Well, it just about has. I'm losing my mind.
I better shut this thing off before I lose my mind.
Wilfred, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I just can't keep up with this. The house is a shamble. The dinner is ruined. I've wrecked most of the dishes, and I'm ready for the sanitarium. We'll either have to find some sort of help or lock up the house or go into a smaller place.
Well, it might be a good idea, for more reasons than one.
Why? What do you mean?
Karen, Wilkins was right about Gaines. The scoundrel cornered up all the preferred stock and is now a majority holder. I'm a ruined man!
And the curtain comes down on Act One of the Derry Rich show, Stars Over Hollywood, which today brings you The Butler Has a Sideline. To find new foods to take place of the old favorites both in food value and in taste thrill, that's the problem rationing and food shortages bring to every housewife. For instance, butter and cheese. How can you replace the wonderful food values in these fine dairy products, so rich in nourishing protective milk solids, and so rich in flavor thrill? Well, here's one of the best helps you'll find. Serve dairy-rich chocolate-flavored drink with family meals. Because you see, dairy-rich is also a dairy product, and it's rich in many of those same protective milk solids that make butter and cheese such valuable foods. So valuable that our government places milk solid products at the very top of the list of win-the-war foods. And as for flavor thrill, well, the distinctive, different, dairy-rich chocolate flavor is America's favorite, with both children and grown-ups. So take the hint. To delight the family, serve dairy-rich chocolate-flavored drink in place of your usual mealtime beverage. And you'll be giving the family much of the fine food values that you get in butter and cheese. Order a quart of this delicious dairy drink today. And remember, look for the name on the bottle cap. D-A-R-I-R-I-C-H. Dairy Rich Chocolate Flavored Drink. The Dairy Rich Show, Stars Over Hollywood, continues with Act Two of The Butler Has a Sideline. Having left the Tuckers to their own resources, Harry Wilkins and his wife, Susan, are on their annual gambling spree. We find them in the throes of excitement, flushed with success.
Blackjack isn't as much fun, Harley, even if you do win. Let's go back to the roulette table. I've won enough here to make that old party with the pearls over there pop her eyes.
You mean the woman who resembles the ambassador's sister?
Oh, that's the one, Harley. She practically sneered at me when I won the $5,000 yesterday.
Sneered, Susan? Well, you may permit yourself a sneer in return.
Oh, I didn't like the way she looked at me. Now that I've won all this at blackjack, I can beat her to number 20 over there without batting an eye. Her and her pearls.
You may buy a string of pearls if you admire them, Susan. As a matter of fact, I have enough money in my left jacket pocket this minute to buy you several strands.
But I'm not at all sure I really want them, Harley.
Yes, it's the excitement of the sport that's fascinating, not the material gains.
Oh, look, they're just finishing a spin. Let's get in on the next round. I do hope she's off number 20, that old party. I feel number 20 might be lucky for me again today. I feel it.
Then you must play it by all means.
Oh, Morley, she's looking the other way. I'll put all this down on number 20 just to see her face when she turns around.
So much, Susan.
It's more fun this way, Harley.
Are the bets all placed, Senora? Ah, very good.
Charles, I want to put my bet on. Oh!
Oh, I love to hear this wheel spin.
Intriguing sound. How is the ambassador's sister?
Oh, she didn't bet at all when she saw me beat it to number 20.
There's the little pellet.
I feel lucky tonight. Cross your fingers, Harley. Cross your fingers.
Number 20.
I've won. Oh, Harley, look how much doubled. Oh.
So you have won. Gather it up, Susan.
Well, Mrs. Wilkins, you are in luck tonight.
Mr. Gaines, sir. Meeting you here affirms the frequent references to the parvitude of our planet.
What did you say?
Oh, Mr. Gaines, sir. Harley is always talking like he was a book he does. Why don't you just say, Harley, it's a small world, isn't it now?
Yes, I guess it is. Imagine finding you two here gallivanting with all the big shots.
We just do it for the sake of the sport, sir. May I inquire how your proposed monetary venture with Mr. Tucker fare?
Excellent, my good fellow, excellent. I am rather pleased to have found you here. I've been wanting to tell you that your advice has been invaluable.
Indeed, sir. And how, may I ask?
Well, don't be silly, Wilkins. After you tipped me off, I was able to corner a sufficient amount of Tucker Preferred stock to threaten a serious depression of its value. To prevent that happening, Tucker offered me sufficient interest in the company to make me the majority holder and president of the firm. And I have you to thank.
The pleasure was meant to be mine, sir.
Well, now that we're all here, we ought to celebrate. Come on, let's get back to the game. The champagne is on me.
Oh, sir, I fear that our modest resources and inexperience in the sport would hardly be a match for one of your talents. Oh,
maybe you're way too modest, Wilkins. I saw you doing all right at that roulette table.
A mere stroke of luck, sir. I fear we would lose everything in further efforts.
Wilkins, I am not going to let you escape me. It might spoil my luck.
Well, sir, Susan and I are only amateurs in the games of cards, but if you would honor us with something within our slender means...
By all means, Wilkins, of course. Have you and Susan ever played poker before?
Poker, sir?
Yeah, you know, stud, draw, you bet on pairs, three of a kind.
Indeed, sir. The game returns to my memory. You remember, Susan, that's the game the gentleman showed us last year.
Oh, but Harley...
Quiet, Susan. Susan is slightly shy of the game, sir. We lost rather heavily, if I may say so.
Well, don't worry, Susan. This will only be a small game. I'll go and get a deck of cards. Perhaps we can find a few customers to join us.
Harley, what in the world are you planning?
Susan, my little mimosa, you heard what the bounder did to poor Mr. Tucker.
And it's all our fault. We should have never left them. But how can you help now?
Susan, old girl, your lack of faith is simply astounding. Simply astounding. Shh, here he comes.
Here we are. A new deck and two gentlemen will meet us in the pink room.
Pink? Simply splendid, as if in tribute to our infant innocence.
Okay, Wilkins, it's your deal. Give me a good hand.
I'll do my best, sir.
You see? The game is pretty easy, isn't it?
The game presents no difficulty, sir. It's knowing how to win financially that seems awkward.
Well, it will come to you. Your trouble is that you bet too recklessly. Now, don't bet unless you have a good hand. A pair of deuces is not a good hand.
I'll try to remember that, sir.
Oh, boy. Is this a hand? I must say, Wilkins, you have dealt me a honey.
I'm very glad, sir.
Shall we bet?
I'll say. I open for 100.
Oh, my goodness. I can't see that.
That's too rich for my blood. I fold.
Not on this hand.
Everybody dropping? I guess it's up to you, Wilkins.
Yes, sir. I shall raise you 500.
500? Wilkins, take it easy. That's how you always lose.
Is that too high, sir?
No, not a bit. I just don't want you to lose everything right away. All right, I'll see that, and I'll raise you another 500.
Oh, dear me. Now I have walked into it, as they say. Well, I must face the consequences of my recklessness. I shall call that bet, sir, and raise you 1,000.
Wilkins, you're letting yourself in for something. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Oh, be careful, Harley. You don't understand poker.
Are you, shall I say, a bit afraid, Mr. Gaines, sir?
Who, me? Don't be silly, Wilkins. I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'll raise you 5,000.
And 10.
Harley!
Quiet, Susan. Your turn, I believe, Mr. Gaines.
So you won't quit. All right. Here's the 10,000, and I raise another 10.
Begging your pardon, sir, but if I may say so, since neither of us will quit, so to speak, perhaps it would be wiser to bet all our worldly goods and have done with it.
You amaze me, Wilkins. This will cost you your shirt. But I'll tell you what I'll do. How much do you want to risk?
I can risk £35,000, sir. That would amount to nearly $200,000.
Good heavens! Where does a butler get such money?
My uncle did rather well in the colonies of late, sir.
I see. Okay, it's your uncle's blood. I'll play a block of Tucker stock to cover. Here you are. I haven't that much in cash.
May I call you, sir?
I called you, Wilkins. But I can't prolong it anymore. Look at him and weep. 4 kings.
Oh, dear me. I guess that wins. I only have 2 small pair.
2 pair? I told you to look out. It serves you right. Why in the world do you bet on 2 small pair?
Well, sir, I thought 2 pair of 1s might well carry the day for old Lang Syne.
2 pair of 1s? What did you say? Let me see those cards.
There they are, sir.
Jumping catfish! 4 aces, you idiot! Do you know what you've just done?
Have I played in error, sir?
Error? You have just won all of my Tucker stock! And you, you numbskull, you didn't even know it!
My regret is boundless. May I offer my apologies?
Apologies? Apologies be hanged! Hey, was that deal on the level?
Mr. Gaines, sir?
Yeah. Yes, I suppose it was.
Perhaps we'd better not play any more this evening.
Naturally not. I'm broke. Busted.
Oh, don't fret, sir. Foiled by fate's fickle finger, I always say, is nothing to weep over. It comes and it goes. But perhaps we build a stronger character and win a better place in a better world.
Hello? Yes, this is the Tucker residence. This is Mrs. Tucker. Why, Susan, where in the world are you? Yes, of course, come right over. Oh, Susan, I'm so glad you're back. Wilfred, come down, please. I have the most wonderful news.
What is it, Karen? What is it?
Wilkins and Susan are back. They just called and will be here in a few minutes. Isn't it wonderful?
Well, I don't know if we can afford them now. They're pretty expensive, and you know our present circumstances.
Perhaps we can arrange something. Anyway, I always feel as though they bring us luck.
And we can certainly use some right now.
There, that must be them. I'll open the door. Susan and Wilkins, come right in. I am so glad to see you.
Welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. Wilkins.
Oh, thank you, Madam and Mr. Tucker. You are much too generous.
Not at all, Wilkins. If you only knew how we've missed you.
Yes, Mrs. Tucker has nearly gone out of her mind trying to keep up with things.
I suppose you will stay here for a while.
We have given the future scant thought, Madam.
It depends on so many things.
Well, you may have heard. You see, we had a little bad luck, and I don't know if we can afford to actually...
Oh, tell him, Harley.
Tell me? Tell me what?
Perhaps you better speak, Susan.
No, Harley, the whole thing was your idea. You tell him.
For heaven's sake, will somebody tell us?
Well, madam, and Mr. Tucker, sir, you see, we ran into Mr. Gaines at the resort.
Oh, so you know.
But that's not all.
You see, sir, when we heard what the bounder had done, Well, Susan and I decided to do something about it.
Oh, it wasn't me that decided, ma'am. It was all Holly's idea.
Look, I can't stand the suspense. Will you please come to the point?
Well, sir, it is a bit awkward, but here it is anyway, and may we be forgiven, sir.
What's this? My stock! The stock Gaines robbed me of. How in the world did you get this from him?
You see, sir, we did rather well at the resort, and then when Mr. Gaines urged us to join him in a friendly game, we accepted.
Don't tell me that Gaines is such a reckless gambler that he lost all this to you.
Oh, no, sir. 'Twas Harley who played reckless, it was.
I don't understand. You didn't steal the stock, did you, Wilkins?
I, sir? Not a bit of it, sir. I lost a not inconsiderable sum to Mr. Gaines. Then it was my turn to deal.
And Harley can always deal anything he wants, Harley can.
Susan!
Oh, Susan, you don't mean that you go to the resort to rob people by dishonest playing?
Oh, no, madam. A real gambler plays for the sport of it. The game's the thing, madam. And Susan and I are real gamblers, if I may say so. Only when another gentleman shows that he's not a gentleman, I recall a bit of a trick I learned once. It's all for the best, sir.
Karen, look, we've got our company back.
It's all too wonderful for words. If only Wilkins and Susan will stay, now that we can afford them again.
Tell you what I'll do, Wilkins.
Yes, sir?
Suppose I install a few small gambling devices here. You could play them as much as you like, and it would eliminate the necessity for your yearly pilgrimages to La Mesa and such resorts.
But it's no fun to play that way, like a child's toy. There's no sport in it.
Oh, now, I propose to make it interesting. I could be the banker. I believe they call it the house. You could play against me for as long as you are in my employment. What do you say?
Oh, Harley, isn't that exciting?
Quite, my dear. Most sporting. Sir, we accept.
Shake.
Oh, Harley, look at the clock. 5 minutes till midnight.
Right you are. 5 minutes until the end of the month.
Will we have time for one more game, Mr. Tucker? Mr. Tucker, sir?
I fear he is dozing, Susan. Beg pardon, sir?
Oh, yes. Time to spin the wheel again.
I was asking, sir, do you think there's time for one more game this month?
Perhaps it's too late.
Let's see. 3 minutes. Time for one more spin. Place your bet, Mrs. Wilkins.
Oh, good old number 20. I don't give up easy, sir.
You, Wilkins?
15 chips on number 13, sir. Laughing in the face of fate, you might call it, sir.
Well, here goes.
Oh, nice of you, sir, to stay up so late.
Oh, well, last day of the month. We have to settle our account. And your lemon pie was especially good tonight, Susan.
Oh, there's the little pellet. Oh, thank you, sir.
It's slowing down.
Come on, number 20. Come on.
It's past my 13.
20. Is this number 20, Mr. Tucker?
20 it is. You win.
Oh, you see, Holly, I told you I'd eventually win if I kept on at number 20.
Time to settle up the month's winnings. Here, Wilkins, you help me count the chips. Well, it seems you owe me 400. Is that what you get, Wilkins?
$400 and one, sir. I suggest you take that out of our month's wages, if you will.
Do you realize that you have worked 30 days for $100, plus room and board? Do you realize that, Mrs. Wilkins?
Oh, yes, sir. I don't mind.
Nor I, sir.
I just want you to feel happy about the arrangement.
We are happy, sir. We've enjoyed the games.
Don't feel squeamish about our loss, Mr. Tucker. Just think. Next month, you may be the loser, sir.
Karen, are you awake?
Yes, darling. Turn on the light if you like. Who won, you or the Wilkins?
I won. Looked close for a while, but I came out fine.
I hope this system of keeping a cook and a butler isn't too hard on you, Wilfred.
Times have changed, my dear. It used to be that you could buy anything with money, but that's all changed now.
What do you mean?
A man has to have a sideline these days, but I can't complain. I owe a great deal to mine.
And so the curtain falls on the Derry Rich show, Stars Over Hollywood, which today has brought you The Butler Has a Sideline, an original radio play. There's a brand new kind of flavor thrill at Soda Fountains. Special Fountain Dairy Rich Chocolate Flavoring for Sodas, Sundaes, and Malteds. Yes, siree, sir. Sodas, Sundaes, and Malteds with the same delicious chocolate flavor taste thrill that makes Dairy Rich the nation's fastest-selling chocolate-flavored dairy drink. For a real treat that you'll simply love, order a soda, sundae, or malted with Special Fountain Dairy Rich Chocolate Flavoring at your favorite soda fountain today. Today's play was written especially for the Dairy Rich show Stars Over Hollywood by Lenore Kingston Kahn. The original show, now lost, starred Eric Blore with Griff Barnett, Paul McVeigh, and Marvin Miller was the announcer. Dairy Rich was made by Bowie's Incorporated. The show originally broadcast over CBS on Saturday, March 31st, 1945.
You've been listening to a recreation of a lost radio show, The Butler Has a Sideline, adapted, produced, and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Kim Turner as Wilkins, Melinda Maines as Susan, Ken Leese as Wilfred Tucker, Liz Roach as Karen, Moki O'Reilly as Gaines, Greg Porter as the dealer, Dan Schindler as Marvin Miller, Pat McNally as Roger, Marge Lutton as Agency 1, Joy Jackson as Agency 2 and the Ambassador's sister. Live sound effects by Greg Porter and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com. I'm Dave Leese, your announcer, and Bill. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first a few words from ART. Hi, I'm Harry Thiel. ART's ensemble of actors bring new life into classic stories from the days of old-time radio, as well as bringing new audio dramas to full imagination. There are lots of great stories out there just waiting for the nod of recognition. Adventure, romance, westerns, mysteries, comedies, historical stories based on real life. Maybe even you have a story. Right now we're in the process of breathing new life into Zorro. Please have a look at our website for more information, AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now, back to our treasures, old and new, from ART.
Well, we're going to shift gears to have a listen of the Kraft Music Hall from October 23rd, 1947.
This is the Kraft Music Hall, starring Al Jolson with Oscar the Band, Lou Bring and his orchestra and chorus, and our guest, Groucho Marx.
I'll keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April showers come
Al Jolson opening up another concert in the old Kraft Music Hall. And I want to tell you something. I'm one of the few people left in Hollywood. Everybody else is in Washington this week. So come on, Lou Bring, let's celebrate. I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along. Just rolling along. And I'm quitting the blues of the world. I'm singing a song. Just singing a song. Glory, hallelujah. Just phone the parson. Hey, Pa, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going afar. And I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along. Just rolling along. Don't want any millions. I'm getting my share. I've only got one suit. that's all I can wear. A bundle of money don't make me feel gay. A sweet little honey is making me sad. I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, rolling along. And I'm quitting the blues of the world. I'm singing a song, just singing a song. Glory, hallelujah, the part one. Hey, Paul, get ready to call. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going to fall. And I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, rolling along.
On top of the world, just rolling along, just singing a song.
Oscar, you're flat.
Well, I'm not sitting quite on top.
Oscar, look, do me a favor. You play a wonderful piano, but why don't you leave the singing to me?
Because I'm jealous.
Oscar, you're a mad, mad thing.
I'm a flat, flat thing.
You surprised me tonight. You know why? You almost sound happy.
Yeah, I guess I'm not myself today.
Well, that's an improvement. Look, maybe you're feeling good because you're not eating so much, huh?
Well, that's because we're observing the food-saving program in our house.
Mm-hmm.
We're teaching the kids all about it.
Really?
For instance, on Meatless Tuesday, we don't give them any bacon.
No?
I eat it.
Well, I'll say that's like taking candy out of a baby's mouth.
Well, I don't give my kids any candy.
No?
I eat it.
I suppose you take the little kid pablum, too, huh?
Oh, no, I don't allow my kids to have pablum.
Really?
It doesn't agree with me.
Well, Oscar, look, if you ask me, the whole food-saving program was started by a guy called Nelson Eddy. He's been shortening bread for years. Now, John Lee...
Listen, I don't care who started it.
Yeah?
The whole thing doesn't bother me.
Why?
I don't have to eat.
Now, look, Oscar, what do you do when you get hungry?
I sit in the corner and eat my heart out.
You'll get thin on that diet. Oscar, look, why don't you follow the example set by President Truman? Announced on Meatless Tuesday, he ate a cheese souffle.
That worries me, Al.
Really?
First he plays the piano. Now he's plugging cheese. You know, Al?
What?
I think he's after my job.
You know, Oscar, that's possible. Next year, Slide will be the Kraft Music Hall starring Harry Truman without Oscar Levin. You know that, don't you?
What becomes of you?
I'll be president.
In that case, maybe I'll throw my hat in the ring, too.
Oscar, there wouldn't be any room in the ring for the size hat you wear. Now, look.
I wouldn't run for an office.
No?
After all, what are politicians?
Yeah, what are politicians?
Just guys who before election promised you the earth, and after election, throw it in your face.
Very good. Very good. I say, in this country, if you don't like a politician, you can just go to the polls and vote him out of office.
I don't like the vote.
No?
They always put the voting booth in a garage, and it confuses me.
How come?
Last election day, I voted for a Cadillac, and it was never delivered.
Oscar, as I said before, you're a mad, mad thing. And look, while you're still confused, why don't you go over and play the piano?
The piano knows where I am. Let the piano come to me.
One of you is going to have to swallow your pride. Oscar, look, go on over there to the piano and give it that blacksmith touch that you do every Thursday.
I'll do it, but only because I like to listen to myself play. If this thing comes out right, it'll sound like Claire de Lune.
Dick Rogers' music is beautiful. I don't know anybody who would write any better than that.
I can. How do you like this? It's something I wrote. Comes right from the heart.
What's the name of that?
It's called I Missed My Little Gray Home in the West, but I couldn't refuse the inflated price I was offered.
If they announced that title on the hit parade, they wouldn't have time for F.E. Boone. Look, Oscar, play something nice, will you, that I can sing.
I'll play something that I can sing. Oh, by Noel Coward.
Noel Coward, huh?
We'll be so jealous that the world will be jealous of our sweet little cafe in Oscar.
That's Brooklyn's answer to Noel Coward. Look, Oscar, how about playing something with a little melody in it?
You know this one, don't you, Al? I wrote it.
You wrote it? That smoke gets in your eyes, and Jerome Kern wrote it.
No wonder I haven't been getting my royalty check.
They asked me how I knew my true love was
true. Oscar.
Yeah?
Oscar, don't play anymore. I think I'll sing it next week.
Yeah? I like that song.
Yeah?
Anything incendiary seems to go. I think I may write one about a cigarette lighter.
Look, Oscar, don't bother. There's already a song about a match. In fact, it's brand new, never been sung before. But tonight, for the first time in the Crab Hall, I'll sing If I Only Had a Match. If I only had a match, then my cares I'd soon forget. All I need would be a match. If I had a cigarette, and if I had a cigarette, I could watch the smoke rings curl. But I'd really be all sad if I only had a girl. If I had someone like you to hurry to each night. In our cozy bungalow, we'd know such sweet delight. We could raise a family and a little garden patch. And to think this all could be if I only had a man. Folks, I want to ask you something. For the first time a song sung like that on the hall, did you really like it? Tell me the truth. Did you really like it? I don't know if we have time or not, but this has never been done in radio, and I'm going to try tonight, even if I get fired. Lou, play it again. I like it. If I only had a match, then my cares I'd soon forget. All I need would be a match. If I had a cigarette, and if I had a cigarette, I could watch the smoke rings curl, but I'd really be all sad if I only had a girl.
if I had someone like you to hurry to each night. In a cozy bungalow, we've no such keen delight. We could raise a family and a little garden patch. And to think it all could be if I only had a match.
Oh, you dog.
Jolson, here's a match. Don't sing that again.
Never mind the match, Rosso. What's the idea of carrying an umbrella here in a trance music hall? That is an umbrella, isn't it?
Well, this is the kind you use when it isn't raining. Yeah. I heard it was always raining violets over here.
Yeah.
Salesman told me my suit would shrink if it got soaked with violets.
Now, wait a minute, Rosso. I don't know why you're picking on me for singing April Showers. I love that little song.
When April showers, they come your way. They bloom the Groucho.
Wait a minute. Come here. Where are you going?
I'm going out and get another umbrella. Jolson, you don't have to serenade me. I'm here to examine you. Take off your shirt. Stick out your tongue. Open your wallet and I'll say ah.
Groucho, you're no doctor. You're an actor. Wait a minute. I saw your last picture. You're a doctor.
I saw your last picture. You weren't even Jolson. Now, quiet, Aza. Hey, what part of Aza are you from, Aza? Now, wait a minute. Quiet there, will you? Let me count your pulse. It's two.
How can my pulse be only two?
One on each wrist.
What?
Jolson, I'm going to call an ambulance.
I don't need an ambulance.
I do. I'm tired, and I don't want to walk back to my office.
Rosso, you mean you hung out your shingle?
I did, but I had to put it back. The roof was leaking.
Groucho, let me tell you something. I've been to the best doctors in the country. Last year, I went back to the Mayo Brothers.
So what? Last year, I went back to the Marx Brothers. It's a narrow escape. I almost went back to the Rich Brothers.
Groucho, listen to me. I'm a nice...
You don't mind if I ad-lib with my elbow here?
Listen to me, Groucho. I'm a nice fella. I'm lovable. I'm sweet. I'm kind. Gentle. I know that's the truth, but I saw it in a Jolson story.
I wouldn't know about that. I was looking for a lady in the balcony. Well, listen, Asia, let's get down to... I'll have you Africa before this is over. Let's get down to business. Any man who thinks as much as you needs a doctor.
Now, look, I've got no time to fool around with quack doctors. I'm really in good shape. I'm in the prime of life.
For the second time.
What?
You seem to doubt my medical background. Why, just a month ago, I was asked to perform a delicate operation. I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
The amphitheater was packed with famous men from Vienna, Pat, England, Greece, Russia, Italy, Brazil, and China. But unfortunately, I couldn't go on.
You couldn't go through the operation?
No. Russia vetoes.
Well, I heard about that operation. You were going to remove Winkle from Wyszynski's hair.
Better off we'd have removed that joke, huh? Jolson, when I operate, nobody knows what I'm going to remove, including myself. I just take potluck.
Well, Jolson, you're not going to take potluck with me. And I don't want to be bothered with any examination. I've got other problems.
Good. Tell them to me. I'm a lawyer.
Where'd you study law?
Thought I was going to medical school. And to prove that I'm a good lawyer, here, take a subpoena.
A subpoena?
Take any subpoena.
Wait a minute. Don't give me no subpoena. You got the wrong man. I'm not Howard Hughes. Now, look. Groucho, you're pulling my leg, aren't you?
No, you probably got your garter hooked to your shorts. Al.
Yeah.
This is a summons for a breach of promise suit.
Must be a mistake. I married every girl I promised.
Well, my client is a little lady who went out with you 50 years ago. She claims you took her for a ride and you made her walk home. I made a girl walk home 50 years ago.
Yes, you told her your horse ran out of oats.
Well,
I cite the case of lean against post. Wash the abrasion with saline solution, dust on sulfanilamide, inject 10 cc's of penicillin, bandage loosely, and have patient rest.
Where'd you learn that kind of law?
That's the day I went to medical school. Jolson, I want to ask you something. Where were you in the night of January 23rd?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Grasso. That isn't a fair question.
I wouldn't ask you anything I wouldn't ask myself. Mark, where were you in the night of January 23rd?
I was?
Oh. Well, let's make it the 24th.
Grasso, what's the name of this woman who's suing me?
I don't know. I've got to build up the case first, then I'll get the woman.
Grasso, this is a frame-up telling me I made a woman walk home 50 years ago. If it's true, why didn't she wait till now to sue me?
She just got home from the war.
I could use someone to handle a breach of promise case.
Who's the injured party, Levant?
I am. I'm falling out of love with myself.
Oscar, I knew you'd get sick of you sooner or later.
Levant, tell me, how did this infatuation begin?
Well, it started many years ago. I woke up one morning, looked at myself in the mirror, and I liked what I saw.
You know, I got one of those mirrors, too.
I'm getting one in the morning. Levant, I can't take your case. I'm not a lawyer anymore. I'm a piano teacher.
When did you become a piano teacher?
When I heard you play.
I wish you were two-headed, Mark. Then I'd have someone more interesting to talk to.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Now, wait a minute, There's no time for fighting or feuding.
Well, I know.
Oscar, listen, you've got to apologize to Groucho.
It's the first time anybody ever apologized to Groucho, but I will. I'm sorry, Groucho. I hope I said something to offend you.
Well, you don't have to get sore about it. I'm sorry, too, for what I said. I couldn't teach you anything about the piano. And no one else could. Or did.
Being between these two fellas makes me look like an awful nice guy. You know that, don't you?
How could a guy finish medical college, music college, and law school?
It was very simple. I didn't go out for recess. Jolson, let me see your watch.
Here you are.
Must be an awfully old watch. His face is wrinkled.
That's what Levant you're looking at.
And the hands could stand a manicure. That reminds me, I have to wash my hands. I'm a doctor again, and I operate in 15 minutes.
Groucho, you mean they let you perform an operation?
Sure, I took out a man's appendix last week.
Really? That's pretty serious.
Yes, it was. In the middle of the operation, I ran out of surgical thread, and I had to use knitting wool.
Knitting wool? What happened?
The man took a bath, the wool shrunk, and now he walks sitting down.
Hey, thanks for listening. But I'm out of time for today. So, see you next time.